Swan, Margaret Elizabeth O'Brien. September 26, 1903. At 525 Ringgold Street in Keyport, PA. My father was Mark O'Brien. My mother was Frances Felding O'Brien. I was baptized on October 25th of the same year in St. Peter's Church by Father Francis Coyle. I went to school at St. Peter's my whole school year, whole school life. From first grade through high school, I was taught by the Sisters of Mercy. I never knew anything about the Sisters of St. Joseph until after high school, and when I was working, I decided to enter the convent, and I consulted the parish priest, and he said, you don't want to be a Sister of Mercy. They're too aristocratic for you. You'd have to have a diary and all that stuff. And this was Father William Slattery. He was the nephew to our pastor, Father McDermott, who at the time was at St. Clemens in Michigan for his health. So Father Slattery told me he had been 11 years at St. Richard's, where our sisters taught. Mother Mary was the superior there, and Sister Raymond was the principal. And he thought the sun rose and set on those two and nobody else, but the Sisters of St. Joseph were the order.
That's St. Richard's in Pittsburgh?
Yes, on Webster Avenue, St. Richard's in Webster Avenue. So he wanted me to join the Sisters of St. Joseph, and he gave me the address, Baden, PA. I never heard of it. He said, oh, you've heard of Baden. He said, it's down past the Whitley. Well, I never heard of Swiftly. Well, anyway, he gave me the address, and he said, you write to them and tell them that you're interested. So I thanked him, and I went home, and I told my mother. And she said, oh, gracious. She said, the Sisters of St. Joseph were over in Duquesne, where my cousin Leah Falkenstein was organist. She said, you get on the streetcar and go up to Aunt Annie's and talk to Leah and Aunt Annie about it. So I did, and Leah said, she'd be happy to talk to Sister Berkman, who at that time was a curate, only named Duquesne. And she did that, and they made an appointment for me to come over the following Saturday, Sunday. And I did. My mother went along, and we met the first Sister of St. Joseph. All right. There was a reception the following Saturday, June the 12th. And Sister Alice Hope Marie and Joanne and Mary Felix and Mary Julia and Marguerite, a whole slew of them got to have it. Eight of them. There are only two still living, Sister Marguerite and Mary Julia. So I came down to the reception. I made application. At that time I was working.
Where were you working, Sister? Where were you working?
Well, from April the 12th, I worked at Murphy's in the office, the bookkeeping place, and upstairs my aunt was there, and she had been there for about 30 years, and she got me a position in Murphy's. So I worked up there until the 1st of July, and Murphy's only paid $8 a week, and I figured I could get more somewhere else. So I told the boss, I said, I'm leaving. And he said, oh, Miss O'Brien, he said, that's too bad. We were just thinking of raising your salary. I said, well, I'm very sorry, but I said, I have another job. I'm giving you some notice because I won't just leave you right. But I said, I'm going to Pittsburgh to work, and even if I pay train fare, I will still be in profit. Of course, I was thinking about entering, but not right away. So I went to Pittsburgh, and I worked at Lucian Schramm on the north side in the office up there. There were a number of girls with us, and I had a girl that was in the same classroom with me, Rose Stadler, and we went together on the train every day to Pittsburgh. We walked from the Smithfield Street station over to the north side, and we were there by 8:30 every day, and we worked till 5 o'clock, and then we got the train home. So I worked there until September the 1st, and then I entered on the 8th of September 1920. And well, anyway, that's it.
So you worked first at Murphy's and then at
Leach and Schramm.
That was wholesale groceries or something?
Yes, something like the kind. But I worked upstairs with a number of ladies, and there were about maybe six men, but the whole rest of us were women. We had a very nice boss, and a lady in charge of the girls, her name was Miss Swan. She was a wonderful person. Well, anyway, they noticed that I was to enter, came from Mother Mary on the 31st of July. I'll never forget it. I was at work, and my mother called me up. She said, well, your letter came from Baden today. You've been accepted.
What year was that?
1920. Mm-hmm. And she said, I didn't want you to wait until you got home tonight to call you, so I'm calling you now. So, of course, I danced around the office, and everybody said, what's the matter? What's going on with Miss O'Brien? I said, well, I've been accepted. I said, I'm going to enter the convent. And the boss said, oh, no. I said, yes. And he said, when? I said, September the 8th. Well, he said, Miss O'Brien, we hope you don't like it. He thought I was going to a school or a college or something. He said, we hope you don't like it. We'll hold your job open for a whole month for you. But I laughed. I said, oh, no. I said, that won't be necessary. I think I'll stick it out. Well, anyway.
What made you interested in wanting to do something?
All my life, that's what I wanted. From the time I entered first grade, I said, oh, I'd like to be like Sister Cosmos. She was a mercy sister. We just loved her. And there were about 128 of us in that first grade room. And I can tell you how proud we were. We had double desks, but three children sat in a double desk. I can tell you that. And there was Mary Elizabeth Rarick and Corinne Holland, and I sat in one seat. I remember that. But we didn't have enough desks, so there was a platform under the blackboard because we were so little. And that was called the mourner's bench. And if you were absent from school for a day, somebody that was sitting three in a desk got to come over and sit, you know, after you, well, in other words, if you were absent, you lost your seat. When you came back, you sat on the mourner's bench. So I can remember a lot of things about that desk. And we used to have some kids that played hooky.
Did you carry your lunch or go home?
No, carried my lunch. Although home wasn't very far, but I carried my lunch. Well?
What was McKee's Ford like when you were big?
What
was McKee's Ford, the town like?
We had the B&O Depot at the end of Locust Street. Locust Street meant up and down. Crossing Locust Street was Fifth Avenue. Right on the corner was the B&O Depot, a grocery place. But running diagonally through McKee's Fort was the B&O Depot. I mean, B&O Railroad. All right. The freight trains were a regular nuisance. And sometimes you'd be in a great big hurry, and you have to wait for a freight, and it would decide to stop, and it would stand there for dear knows how long, until sometimes men would get disgusted, and they'd cross between the freight cars, or sometimes they were thrown and knocked unconscious or something like that, a couple of fellows were even killed. But anyway, on Sunday, you had to make sure that you were on the right side of those tracks, or you'd be late for Mass, or you might even miss Mass because of those railroads. And people talked for years and years and years about getting an elevated system or about doing away with the BNO altogether. Well, that never took place until just, you know, about maybe 10 years ago. About 10 years ago. Now they don't have the BNO on the Peace Board at all. But we always, always, and we still do, have the PNLE, and it's way down by the river. So we have Monongahela River and Yaukegeni River. Yaukegeni River, the other side of that would be Port View, Boston, up that way. Monongahela River, across from that would be Duquesne, DeRoseburg, those towns going up. Elizabeth.
You know, Sister Emily, not too many years ago, Sister Vincent Mary and I were here, and one Christmas, the weather was terrible, and you know, you were afraid to ask anybody from home to drive you, and you were afraid to go, and well, we weren't in Boston. But we had a man take us over to the BNO in Beaver. We got the train there, and went into the Peaceport, the BNO, and then had our families come for us over there. Because Sister Rose, her brother-in-law, was living there, just living in the Peaceport there. But, you know, this is too long ago, so operation.
Well, now they have a boulevard there. You wouldn't know Miss Peaceport if you went there again.
Well, Fifth Avenue is still being commercial.
Yeah, but the stores are gone. Baltimore's supermarket isn't there anymore.
The famous
The famous, the building is there, but nothing. Pan Mateen Hotel, you know, was sold, and now they have that for a high-rise for the elderly, that's what they have. And R.E. Stone Company on the corner with a grave, big furniture store, that's not there anymore. Nothing's there. Except the two bridges. There's one bridge that goes right over to the 10th Ward, and there's another bridge that goes over to DeRoseburg. Those two are still there. And out the other way, toward east of Peaceport, there's the Duquesne Bridge, and that's the extent of it. Then we have a bridge up at 16th Street. It takes you way out to Christie Park. Well, it is at Christie Park, but it takes you across to Liberty Burr. You've heard of Liberty Burr, and what's the other place?
Port View,
Liberty Burr, up that way there. And then there's the Boston Bridge. If you keep going, after you cross the Boston Bridge, you get to Elizabeth. That's where
when did your family first come to the Peaceport?
I couldn't tell you that. My dad was born in Newcastle. That's another thing. I never knew that the Sisters of St. Joseph cut my dad until after I was in the convent. And I was working down in the pantry one day, and Sister Claire came along, and she said, I understand your father was from Newcastle. I said, that's right. She said, what was his name? I said, Mark O'Brien. And she said, well, I taught their father. I said, is that so? A few years later, when I was teaching in St. Mary's in Newcastle, Sister Claire was supervisor. She came there, and she showed me the very desk where my dad used to sit. Just imagine. So I talked to Sister Mary Lewis one time, and she told me about my dad. She said that she was teaching something that was very serious one time. okay, that far away, bored look. And she kind of wasn't paying attention. She said, Marcus O'Brien, do you understand what I'm talking about? And he was on his toes immediately. He said, Sister, I comprehend perfectly. Well, she nearly died. She told me later, he was just a little tight, you know, and comprehend my dementia. But she told me about that herself. I she enjoyed that. Well, anyway.
My dad was a
paper hanger by trade, but in the summertime he worked as a pilot on the freight steamers going up the Great Lakes. Now, he'd hop the freight in the Peaceport and go out to maybe Cleveland or Ashtabula or Sandusky, Ohio, one of those lakes. And then he'd get the steamer that he liked. There were several steamers that were his favorites, like William P. Snyder Jr. or Livingston Large. He liked those steamers the best. And one time he would get on the steamer. He'd leave McKeesport maybe Sunday after the 6 o'clock mass. And on Wednesday, we'd get a letter or postcard from him. He'd be way up at Duluth, Minnesota already.
He loved it.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I love it. But anyway, and then he'd go over to Ann Arbor, Michigan. He'd go to Sault Ste. Mary, and he'd come up the St. Lawrence River, and he used to send us postal cards and letters from the places where he was, you know. So, as a matter of fact, when Pop was dying, he was in the U.S. Marine Hospital in Cleveland, and we got a letter from the nurse saying that he was pretty bad. Mom and Marcus went to see him, but of course I didn't. I don't know. Oh, we couldn't all go, gracious. But I had a postal card from St. Agnes Church in Cleveland. And I thought, well, I'll write to the pastor. I didn't know who he was. But I wrote, Dear Reverend Father, my father, Mr. Mark O'Brien, is a patient in the U.S. Marine Hospital in Cleveland. I understand that he is at death's door. Will you please go and visit him? So he did. Well, it was out of his district, that was it. He got in touch with the other priest who was Father Thomas Gallagher, I believe his name was. And he talked to him. And he went. And he visited Pop. Pop went to confession, received Holy Communion. He brought him Holy Communion, I think, four different times. And then, well, anyhow, my dad died a good death. Nobody was with him when he died. He died, we'll never know for sure the real date, but it was between the 9th and the 10th of December. And anyway, he was buried in Newcastle where he wanted to be buried at his father's feet.
How old were you then?
I was 15. I entered the community when I was 16. I had my 17th birthday in the community. So.
Did you go to high school?
In the Peaceport, under the city of St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mercy Sisters, Mercy Sisters, yes. I never met the St. Joseph. So I attended Satan. But anyway, Newcastle was something. I was sent there. My first mission was St. Rachel of Morningside. And I just loved Sister Agatha. She was a superior. And there was Sister Raymond, principal. Mr. Hyacinth. I loved her too. And being just a novice, I was told to help her in the kitchen. I used to work the pots and kettles for her and clean up after the meals and so on. And she talked to me a lot. And she was a holy nun. And we slept in the same cell upstairs on the third floor. And our beds were so close together, my goodness, we could shake hands with each other. But anyway, she told me a lot of holy things. For example, in those days, you had to eat something of everything that was on the table. And Sister Agatha made that a very strict rule. Well, I detested grapefruit. And we had grapefruit a lot. And Sister Hyacinth said to me, now, Sister Emily, she said, you take the grapefruit and you offer it up to the souls in purgatory. And you see how many poor souls you can lift out of purgatory. Well, did you know by the end of the year I was beginning to like grapefruit? When I entered, Sister Baptist was a mistress. Oh, yes, she was real strict. And we used to be sent out on Sundays for recreation. And we'd walk way, way, way up to the second farm, and we'd sit down on the grass up there and have what we called a Baptist meeting. And we'd tell jokes.
Why did you call it a Baptist meeting?
Because Sister Baptist was a mistress.
Did she go with it?
Oh, she'd send one of the seniors in charge of it. No, she didn't come along. She'd send in. Well, one time Sister Apollonia was put in charge of it. She was a senior novice. Or another time Sister Paul Francis. Particularly, I remember Sister Apollonia put in charge of it. But, we used to tell all kinds of jokes. Sister Mary Rose knew German, and she would sing for us in German something about everybody works in our house. But the old man, you know, she'd sing that in German. And then there was another one. And Sister Alcott Marie used to be a real, a clown, a real clown, yes. One of the other sisters, too, he enjoyed it. Well,
I wanted to get back to your mother. What kind of work did your mother do?
My mother was, before she married, she was housekeeper, general housekeeper, at McKeesport Hospital for 5 years before she met my dad and married him. Pop was a paper hanger.
He's self-employed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who were some of the first sisters you got to know then when you did?
When I entered? Mm-hmm. Well, Sister Baptist. The day I made application, I told you that. I got to have it. Well, the day we got to have it, 12 of them made final vows. 12 of them. In that little round chapel that's now the kindergarten place. And let's see, who was in that club? Well, Sister Edith, Sister Mary Margaret, Sister Marie Benedict, Sister St. Anne, Mia Alphonse, St. Martin, Rose Gertrude, anyhow, the last two were sisters and Philip Neary and Cephas. And there were two more, I can't remember their names. Oh, Anastita. And then Mary Bridget. Yes. And they all made final vow today we got to have it. So, well, anyhow, after St. Rachel's mission, I was sent to Holy Rosary next year, and that was something. I taught in the old portable on Kelly Street. Now, at St. Rachel's, I had had first grade and second grade. I had second grade when I started out, but Sister Boniface took sick. She was the first grade teacher, and I loved her. We used to study at night, and then every day she had me go in her room for an hour, and she'd go in my room. And then the night before, we would always plan what we were going to do, and she had her class separated into groups, the star group and the sunbeam group. The sunbeams were the dull kids that were slow to learn. Well, anyhow, that way I got to know her children and what they were capable of and so on. In those days, we had Justine Ward music, and I had to teach music. Now, I didn't even know the keyboard, but Sister St. Charles took me and showed me a few things and showed me what I was to do and how I was to teach it. So that's what I did. All right. Sister Boniface went to the hospital at Thanksgiving time, and I was put in her room. And they got a late teacher from my place. Her name was Miss Purcell. And Miss Purcell was the aunt to Father William Purcell, who later was assistant at St. Charles de Nora when I taught there. Mm-hmm. All right. I thought it was only going to be temporary, but anyway, Sister Boniface died the 2nd of January. And that was 1923. And she was the first sister to die after I entered. And we felt terrible. After that, I was kept in the first grade. I finished that. One of the pupils I had was Sister Mary Staley. She was Sister Raymond, you know, before she went back to her baptismal name. Yes, she was one of them. All right, from St. Rachel's, I went to Holy Rosary. And one of the first things the priest said to me, instead of having the first grade like I wanted, they had too many sisters for first grade, Sister Eleanor and Sister Jean Marie and Sister Marie Dolores all had first grade. So they put me in fourth grade. Well, they had very poor psychology in those days. All the repeaters from the fourth grade the year before were put into my room, who was the least experienced of any of them. From Miss Hall's room and from Sister St. James's room and whoever else had the fourth grade the year before, they all came to me. I had 13 repeaters out of a class of 46. I had 44 desks, which meant two children didn't have a desk. You had to have somebody at the blackboard all the time, and then he'd sit down and somebody else would go up. It was awful. Besides being on Kelly Street, the buses went past, and it was noise. And the children just would not behave. I couldn't teach them anything there because they couldn't behave. I had absolutely no control.
You live in the old convent on Kelly Street?
It was an old portable.
The convent, though?
No, the convent was not the old one on Lang Avenue. It was a brand new one. They had just moved into it. Yeah, it was brand new. They just moved in the year before. Well, anyway, that was another thing. In the convent, Sister Jean Marie and I slept in the same cell way up on the third floor in that little wee skinny cell. It was so little that I...